You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we always enjoy this time of the week when we get a chance to talk to our good friend Dan Orlovsky. It's time for the Dan Orlovsky Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. Dan, we're going to start off with something that we were just talking about. And that's Dak Prescott's place in the quarterback universe. And, you know, we just did, you know, a team-by-team evaluation, and we have, depending on which one of us, 10 and 11 quarterbacks better than Dak. Do you think that's accurate?
We thought that Dak was right around the 10 number, probably 11 number. I think there was a brief moment this year to start this season, specifically in week one, you're like, whoa. You know, he was so impressive. And I even remember sending out a tweet going, all right now Dak looks like he's an elite quarterback. I've always felt that Dak was right around the 10 to 12 mark. He's a good player. Has moments that he's really good. Has moments that he's head-scratchingly average. And I think that, and this goes back, Michael, to probably 2 years ago when the contract conversation started with Dak Prescott, and I made the comment, don't play a good player, great player money. And I think what happened with Dallas is they have paid Dak Prescott, who is a good player, great player money. There's three quarterbacks in the NFL that make $40 million a year. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Dak Prescott. Patrick threw for 420 yards this week, and Josh had 380 yards of total offense. Dak had 240. And so, you know, often we correlate expectation with value when it comes to the contract in professional sports, but I never felt that Dak was worthy of, hey, I'm a top five player, maybe top five money when it comes to quarterbacking.
And what's frustrating to me is, and I brought this up earlier, you know, whether it's Dak Prescott or Tony Romo, whether it's Gregory or Ware, whether it's, you know, Wade Phillips or Jason Garrett or Mike McCarthy, this is what the Cowboys have been for two decades. An underachieving
average
team. Tons of talent, underachieving team. So we could blame the quarterback, but doesn't it fall on the entire organization?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And I'll take it even further. Like, yes, I would say this. It's hard for me to sit here and say organizationally because they got some really good football players. You know, they've become a stable organization front office-wise when it comes to drafting as well. They get a bad rap for doing that crazy stuff. That really hasn't been who they've been. I'll point to just, let's talk about the Cowboys in the present day of who they are, post-Jason Garrett, all that stuff. 2 years, Mike McCarthy's 18 and 15, just about average in the NFL. Mm-hmm. This year, they were a 12-5 football team, 6-0 within the NFC East, 6-6 if you're including the playoffs loss everywhere else. Mike McCarthy, when he has Dak Prescott as the starting quarterback, is 6-9 outside of the NFC East, 6-9. This team inside the NFC East scored 40 points a game this year. They scored 24 points a game outside of the NFC East.
What?
They were the number one third down offense in football inside the NFC East at 55% third down completion percentage. They dropped down to 32% outside the NFC East. They are a team that is much better because the teams within their division have struggled and are so poor. And I'm not trying to kill Mike McCarthy. But facts over feelings. This football team led the NFL in penalties. They had 8 of them this past weekend that either gave San Francisco a first down or took one away from them. They are what they are. They're an average football team that is a defensive player of the year, a defensive rookie of the year. They have two Hall of Famers on their offensive line and a top five unit. They have a $100 million wide receiver, a $140 million quarterback, a $90 million tailback, and they are bone average.
I just sit here listening, and I was obviously watching the games this weekend. I was kind of blown away, Dan, by the fact that the NFC East looked as bad as they did. I stupidly thought Philadelphia could potentially play with Tampa Bay. They looked completely, just completely on a different level. Am I a nut? Two things. I don't really need to spend time talking about my football team so I get yelled at. I can't help but think that if Washington had a quarterback, they might have actually been the best team in the division. But just how bad is the NFC East? And am I crazy for thinking that? Or if the Washington gets Derek Carr, do they all of a sudden rise to maybe the cream of the division?
No, it's a poor division. But the reality is, you know, one of those teams is in, you know, kind of full rebuild mode, which was Philadelphia, who got into the playoffs. One of those teams, you know, Washington, I think to judge Washington this year is unfair because of what happened at the quarterback spot. Fitzy goes down, and Heinicke had certainly some really cool moments, but still hampered by that. And then their defense was terrible to start the year. And the Giants obviously were a disaster. So we're talking about a division that one fired a coach, one is in rebuild mode, and one lost the starting quarterback. So, yeah, I think that if Washington has to be a player this year in the quarterback world, they just have to be. I think they because Ron Rivera was going into his third season, Martin Mayhew, their general manager, attached with them, they're going to have to be a player and get a real – okay, this guy is not only the guy now, but he's a guy that's going to be here for a couple years, and he's really good.
All right, so, Dan, several people have reported that the Giants, despite not naming their GM yet, have interviewed Dan Quinn for the head coaching position. And I want to ask you this. Dan Quinn took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. They were up 28-3 in that game against the Patriots. We know what happens after that. Was it Dan Quinn or was it Kyle Shanahan? Who gets credit for what the Falcons did? And do you think Dan Quinn can be a good coach?
I think Dan Quinn could be a good coach. I give more credit to Kyle Shanahan in that situation just because of how, you know, Matt Ryan was the MVP of football that year. Julio Jones was record-setting. Devontae Freeman was absolutely spectacular. So I think that was more of a Kyle thing. But I think Dan Quinn's a really good coach. I think that when you hear people talk about Dan Quinn, and I would also say the way that he went about, you know, coaching this Dallas defense this year and using the Dallas, I thought that Dan Quinn was going to go to Dallas and just run cover three. And they were way more diverse and multiple defensively than I thought. I also think that you learn a lot after your first time as a head coach and how the things that you did, what did you do well, what would you do differently, all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if you talk to people who are attached to what's going on in this hiring cycle right now, every day that passes, they say that Dan Quinn's name is probably the hottest when it comes to head coaching positions, and they feel more confident that he's going to be the coordinator, certainly out of Dallas, that gets that head coaching job going into this offseason. So it's weird to me that the Giants would interview him without having a general manager, but I think Dan Quinn's got an opportunity to kind of remake his name as a head coach.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Rams have been an enigma for a long time now, and certainly Stafford not having won a playoff game until Monday, not great against teams with winning records. Does that win against Arizona free them up? Is this a different Ram team that we look at now as opposed to the team that we thought they were going into Arizona?
No. I expected the Rams to hammer Arizona. I feel like this is a team that was – has the most pressure out of anybody left, anybody in going into the playoffs, anybody left in the playoffs, and that'll be until they get into and win if they do the Super Bowl. I will say this. I think that two things I loved out of that game. I thought Sean McVay, their head coach, did a tremendous job of the consistent commitment with playing to a style that was going to be good for their football team, not throwing the ball every play, run the game. Because if you look at the Rams and the games they've lost this year, it's more often than not been lost in the first quarter. They come out, they try to do some crazy stuff, throw the ball all over the lot, and all of a sudden, like, you know, pass protection stinks, the quarterback throws an interception, and that's 14, and you're like, what the heck just happened? So I liked that. I thought it was the best game I've seen Matthew play in probably legit 5 or 6 years. And I would say that's scary, because if he plays two more games like that, they're in the Super Bowl. Just the decision-making, the pace that he played with, how smart he was. But I still think that this is – like, I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I honestly believe that if Tristan Wirfs doesn't play this weekend for Tampa, this game could get ugly. I think that highly of the Rams. I think Tampa Bay is beat up that bad. If you go watch that game that they played against each other the first time of the year, Sean McVay feels really good about how to go after this Tampa Bay defense. And if Tristan Wirfs doesn't play, man, with the addition of Von Miller and still Aaron – goodness gracious. So I think I feel very good about the Rams winning this weekend.
Talking with Dan Orlovsky here on the Michael Kay Show. We always talk to you on Wednesday, so we never really look ahead. But since there's only four games, I want to get your quick hits on all of them. You just gave us L.A. and Tampa Bay. Cincinnati and Tennessee, what are you feeling there?
Cincinnati, eventually you can only hide a poor offensive line for so long, and usually it stops when you play a dominant defensive line. That's my biggest concern. Tennessee's got two first-rounders on their defensive line that are dominant football players, and their defensive line can hunt. They don't pressure. They play zone coverage, and everything that you see before the snap doesn't matter. You know, as a quarterback, you're always taught, see what's going on before. It does not matter because everything is going to change after the snap. So that's the challenge for the Cincinnati offense, is protecting while also it's going to take a little bit of time for Joe to figure out what Tennessee is doing. If Derrick Henry is 90%, if Derrick Henry is 80%, that's a huge boost. If I was Tennessee, I would go after Eli Apple. I would take shots with A.J. Brown, and I would throw intermediate possession throws to Julio Jones on him. As much as I love Joe Burrow, I think you got to love both sides of the line of scrimmage for Tennessee.
All right, San Francisco, Green Bay.
The challenge for San Francisco with Green Bay to challenge for Green Bay defensively with San Francisco is San Francisco does not have an identity. They just know who they are. What I mean by that is you have no idea. So when, like, try not to get too nerdy for you guys, but when I, as an offensive play caller, call a play, the defense is looking over trying to figure out what personnel I'm in. Well, when I put Mitchell and Deebo Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle on the field, you have no idea. I could be in 21, two backs, one tight end. I could be in 11. One back, one tight end. I could be in 12, one back, two tight ends, because of all those guys' versatility. And then I could give you certain personnel and give you different formations. So that's a challenge for Green Bay, is like, how do they treat those guys? You know, when Deebo Samuel's in the running back, are you treating him as a running back? What happens when George Kittle's lined up back there? And what happens when Kyle Juszczyk's out as a wide receiver? And then what happens with all the motion and it changes? So that's the challenge for Green Bay defensively, is how do they match personnel, and then how do they match formation and obviously slow down the run? I think that if Bosa plays and Bakhtiari plays, that is a tremendous matchup to watch. We're talking two all-pros. I think if San Francisco's defensive line, who's playing as good as anybody left in the playoffs, continues to play that well, San Francisco's got a chance to pull off the upset.
And finally, Buffalo at Kansas City.
If Kansas City starts slow, this game could get ugly, in my opinion. I think that well of Kansas Buffalo, when Buffalo uses Josh Allen the way that they are, when it becomes to three-way player, I'll beat you with my arm, I'll beat you with my mind, and I'll beat you with your my legs, he's indefensible. And that's the challenge for Kansas City, who, you know, they want to play man coverage. Josh Allen absolutely destroys man coverage. So it's like, are we going to do what we do, or are we going to try to play in a different way? I just think he's absolutely rolling right now. I look back at that Kansas City-Pittsburgh game, and I'm just being honest, guys, it was nothing with six minutes to go in the second quarter. And Pittsburgh stinks. And really it changes on some turnovers and field position. So I love Kansas City. I think they're fantastic. But if they start so like they did last week, man, Buffalo can snowball you quickly.
Should be a great week. Now, you know we love you, so I've got to ask you this. We spoke about it earlier. This weekend, we had trepidation about letting our golden retriever go out and go to the bathroom because it was so cold. You had your three sons and you in your shorts. Man. Why did you do that? What's going on?
Michael threatened to call the authorities, by the way, Dan.
What happened?
Michael threatened to call the authorities on you. I just want you to know.
I was scared.
CPS is talking
about. I would have offered it to if the authorities showed up, I would have offered for them to join. So I think, like, my honest answer, like, I'm a little bit of a psychopath. Like, I'm wired differently. I like physical and mental pain. I do. I like challenge. I like pain. I like being in discomfort. I got three sons. They're white kids that are going to grow up in Westport, Connecticut. Like, life's going to be relatively easy for them. You know, they're going to have some advantages just because how the world operates, unfortunately. Okay. And I don't want them to think that that's reality. And so I like to figure out ways that they can learn to do things difficult that they may not believe that they can or that they want to, while also doing it in a little fun manner, you know. So it was a lot of like, hey, let's do this and let's be idiots and let's be stupid while also trying to, kind of teach a little bit of a lesson as well.
I love the – I don't know which one of your sons, but one of them bailed early. I said, that's my guy. He just bailed early. He said, I'm out.
That's Madden. Yeah, Madden. That kid the fact that I'm from Connecticut, my wife's from Philly, and we live up here, he doesn't belong with us because he's a warm-weather kid. Like, you take that cat to the beach, he wants to be in the hot tub at the pool.
Oh, he bailed early. I was rooting for him. I said, this is great. And it wasn't just you. Your wife was taping it, so she was on board too.
Yeah, but she was like in sweats and in Uggs and all that. Like, she was super comfortable.
Your son Madden is obviously named for shoe designer Steve Madden.
No, it has nothing to do with like a potential football background. It has all to do with me and my sneakers that I wear on television.
Well said. Well said, Dan.
There you go. Great stuff, Dan. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good week, fellas. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care.
You got it. That is Dan Orlovsky, so he explained it. I still don't get it.
No, you like to find a happy medium. That seems very extreme to me, but I understand his sentiment. You want to try to have them have some adversity in their life, but does that have to be frostbite?
Well, I mean, listen, guys, they're not. They have the option to go inside. All you got to do is quit.
But then you're quitting in front of your dad. Madden obviously had no problem doing it.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. It's learning when to fold. Hold them, you know, right. Like Kenny Rogers said.
I potentially see problems with the relationship between Madden and Dan in the future because he bailed early.
And I thought they were different. I read today they're triplets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well.
He loves pain, though. He made that clear. He loves pain. I hate pain.
I wonder if he'd throw the contest to get hit by David Cohn and Al Leiter.
You know what? He might. That's the Dan Orlovsky Report brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. So I know Peter was listening very intently to him break down the games. I'm sure Peter got some. Oh, you don't care what he said?
I'm not saying that, but I'm not changing what I do.
You're gonna wait until you see what Tannenbaum touts.
Yeah.
And then you'll take that.
I know how I'm leaning right now. And listen, if I wasn't worried about Michael playing keep away, I'd reveal it right now, but listen.
But let's face it. After what he said about the Rams, if Tannenbaum goes Bucks, that might be just too
good,
too much not to go with LA.
I already liked it. LA was where I leaned. I don't know if that's a game I'm going to touch, but that was where I leaned in that game anyway. But you guys could have guessed that anyway because I was off Tampa last week. And even and they didn't really convince me because Philly was that bad to me. Like, well, did Tampa really impress you?
So. No, there were things about it. I mean,
they were fine. They were good.
Tom Brady was impressive.
Yeah, no, he was good. He was good. But, like, at no point did they get challenged in that game in any way. So it's just hard for me to say very much. But, you know, is it easy to picture a world in which the Rams don't look the way they looked on Monday also when they get away from SoFi?
I don't even know how you're going to deal with the pressure. I mean, there's so much pressure this weekend for you. There might be more pressure on you than Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
That's
a lot of pressure.
I'm praying that somehow you and I go the opposite ways on every game.
Oh, ah, man. That would be
and,
great.
And Don, imagine a world. Take yourself out of this.
Just in a world. Just
imagine a world where I gained 6 points on Michael. Well, what next week would be like.
I got to call fraud on Michael because he said it would be so great if you had different picks. It would ruin Michael's weekend.
Oh,
he
wouldn't
so
want
nervous.
He wants the same picks 100%.
He wants the same picks and just relax, kick his feet up, watch the games. If you have like all three are different, you'll ruin his weekend.
Well, but by the end of our pick segment on Friday, right, I will have clinched not finishing last if we have the same three picks because then you can't catch up.
Right.
Because there's only 8 points available after this week.
Right.
If we
had the same three picks.
Yes. You can't catch. I've clinched without the games being played.
So just tell me who you like.
No, then I'm going to sit down, kick my leg up on Saturday and Sunday, roll a blunt, and enjoy the games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Roll a blunt.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that for you? Because I can't imagine you know how to do that.
You know what? I'm guessing Callie could probably figure it out. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.